Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com. DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Miriam Wasser, WBUR's Senior Climate and Environment Reporter. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm happy to be back on The Common.
So, Miriam, you've been looking into the development of a substation in East Boston. And while substations aren't uncommon, this one has become quite a big deal. So to start us out, what is a substation?
So an electrical substation is a very important piece of infrastructure. At its most basic level, it changes the voltage of electricity. So it either turns it from high voltage to lower voltage or lower voltage to higher voltage. In the case of this one that's going to be built in East Boston, it's taking high voltage electricity from a transmission line, lowering that voltage, and then it is able to send it out into the power lines that go to your house and homes. So substations are all over the place. They are fairly safe. They don't, you know, emit harmful pollutants the same way that like a power plant does. But this one in East Boston has become particularly controversial. And I think we'll probably talk about those reasons why.
Well, yeah, that's actually my next question. Tell us, you know, why are people concerned about this particular project?
Yeah, I would say, like, broadly speaking, there are two buckets of concerns. One has to do with like the physical infrastructure, so like public safety issues. So the plot of land where this is going to go is right on Chelsea Creek, which is an area that's pretty low lying, and it does flood, right? And we know that electricity and water don't mix. It's also right across the street from a really popular playground and park, and it sits a few hundred feet from all the jet fuel oil that's used at Logan Airport.
Oh, what could go wrong?
I think people have a lot of concerns about that, right? And then I would say the second like category of concerns that people have would be about environmental justice and about like the process by which this project was approved. So early on when Eversource first proposed it back in 2014, people didn't know about it. And a lot of people were under the assumption that this plot of land, which was very contaminated, was going to get cleaned up by the city and turned into a park or a soccer field. And then all of a sudden they learn, actually, this utility wants to build this substation here. And so they felt like they weren't informed. And then when they tried to get involved, there were a lot of translation issues at some of these early public meetings. You know, a lot of people in East Boston speak Spanish and don't speak English, and that translation service was not provided. And so from the perspective of people in the community, this was an unfair process, and like, how can you proceed with this? But the state did proceed with it. And in February 2021, they approved the project.
So they approved this project. There's a lot of pushback from the community. What does Eversource have to say about it?
So Eversource has said the whole time and continues to say that this project is a net positive for the community of East Boston, right? Mm-hmm. I said at the outset, like, we need electrical substations. Like, they're not an inherently bad piece of infrastructure. And as we move to get away from fossil fuels and turn more of things electric, we're going to need more substations. Okay. So from the perspective of Eversource, they've said, we are building this. This is going to provide electric reliability to you down the road. So when we have a heat wave in a couple of years during the summer, your air conditioning is not going to go out.
Okay, so they're saying that, but why put it on this particular site in Eagle Hill?
That is a very great question. And the simplest answer is that this was a plot of land that they owned. They don't own other land. So, you know, people in the community for a very long time have said, the biggest user of electricity in East Boston is Logan Airport. Why don't you build this thing at Logan Airport? And the company says, Massport didn't offer us space to build this. We own this plot of land down by Chelsea Creek.
Got it. So we have the project here, and the community is concerned about that. And Eversource, with the state's blessing, is moving forward with it. At any point, was there any agreements made? Was there any concessions made by Eversource to kind of ease the community's concerns?
Yes. So this was the topic of the story that I published today. So back up to that February 2021 meeting when the Energy Facility Siting Board, which is the state body that reviews energy projects, when they approved the project, they did so with a very unusual caveat. They said, you know, we need to acknowledge the fact that this is a piece of infrastructure that's going into a state-designated environmental justice community. So, you know, acknowledging the fact that we are approving a project in this neighborhood, Eversource, we want you to negotiate in good faith with community groups for something called a community benefits agreement. So you need to come up with something that is going to either mitigate the impacts of this project or compensate the community for the added burden. As far as I can tell, and as far as anyone I spoke to knows, this is the first time that the state did something like this. So community benefits agreements are common in the private sector. You might have a real estate developer that wants to build this series of condos and people in the community don't want it. Sit down with the developer and the developer might say, like, hey, what if I threw X numbers of dollars at your soccer team? Or what if I planted a bunch of trees over here? And those agreements tend to come at the beginning of the process. This is unique in a few ways. It came at the end of the process and it was directed by the state. And it wasn't particularly well received by those in the community. They felt like it was kind of a token gesture in a lot of ways. But the negotiations went forward. One of the people that I talked to a bunch in this story is a woman named Deborah Cave, who has lived in East Boston her whole life and was really opposed to the substation. She's also the head of the Eagle Hill Civic Association. And that's one of the groups that the state chose for these negotiations. And her feeling was, we don't want this, but if it's going to have to be here, we might as well get something out of it. So fast forward a few months, and they come up with a $1.4 million benefits package. And it includes things like planting more trees and doing some upgrades to the playground across the street, some work being done in the urban wild, some money for the Boys and Girls Club to install new energy-efficient equipment and a new HVAC system. And here's a little bit of my interview with Deborah Cave.
At any point during the conversations about this, was there any discussion about how this would all be paid for?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, I honestly don't remember that. I just thought of Eversource. I thought it was going to come from Eversource.
More on that in just a minute. Right after this break.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. You know, there's the saying about assuming, right? I think in this situation, it's kind of fair to assume that Eversource would be the ones to pay for it. So why ask, right? But I guess that's not the case.
Yes, that is not how Eversource saw it. This past June, a group called Green Roots, which is a local nonprofit that's really led the fight against the substation, along with the Conservation Law Foundation, asked Eversource, like, point blank during a state proceeding, who is paying for the benefits agreement? And the company wrote back in a written statement, ratepayers. And that means Deborah Cave. That means her neighbors. And that means actually anyone in Massachusetts who pays an electric bill to Eversource. So I have been asking Eversource about this for several months, and they've kind of changed their answer a little bit. So instead of just saying flat out that this is going to be paid for by ratepayers, they're now saying that they haven't decided who's going to pay for it. They don't quite know yet how they're going to account for all of this, but they maintain that it would be reasonable to have ratepayers pay for it in the future. And that's not all. When utilities build things, so like physical things, poles, wires, substations, they can recoup those costs from ratepayers. That's part of what you pay for every month in your electricity bill. And the utility gets a rate of return on that. They profit off of it. That's the business model of a utility. So one of the big questions that I had was, like, are they going to make a profit off of this community benefits agreement? And again, they are saying, you know, we have not decided yet how we're going to categorize this cost, but they have left that option on the table, which means that the people who have been opposing this substation for 8 years are not only helping to pay for the substation and helping to pay for the community benefits, but that the company might actually be able to make a little bit of a profit off of it.
Is that legal?
So that was one of the big questions I had about all of this. And the answer is, like, yeah, like, there is no statute that says you cannot charge ratepayers for a community benefits agreement. But what's interesting is that it's also not entirely up to Eversource. So Eversource may want to charge ratepayers, but it's going to be up to the Department of Public Utilities whether they are allowed to do that. So later this decade, like many years after the substation is up and running, Eversource will go before the Department of Public Utilities and they're going to lay out receipts for everything that they've built since their last review, and the department gets the final say in whether that happens.
Are any state officials looking into this? Because it seems pretty absurd that the community and the people in Massachusetts who pay for energy from Eversource would have to pay for this agreement. And I ask because I would imagine this sets a bad precedent that some elected leader might want to get ahead of.
Yeah, so I don't know of any elected officials right now who are, you know, doing anything in particular to stop this, but there are people who are advocating for reform to the Energy Facility Siting Board, which is, again, right, that state body that sort of approved all of this. And then to answer the second part of your question, like, yeah, there are people who are really concerned about precedent. Here in Massachusetts, as you and I have discussed many, many times, we have very ambitious climate goals. And part of what it's going to mean to cut our carbon emissions is to build a lot more electrical infrastructure. And so people are concerned that if this is allowed to hold, if Eversource is allowed to pass on this cost, you would have utilities in the future who might be proposing controversial projects. And they would say, well, let's just throw a bunch of money at it, and then we'll get that money back from ratepayers. So David Pomerantz of the Energy Policy Institute and I talked about this quite a bit.
Every utility would love to be able to spend even more money to try to assuage concerns or silence critics or buy community support. If they had license to spend ratepayer money on that, why not spend $100 million?
I understand Eversource broke ground last month, but is it too late to stop the project? Can anything be done at this point?
I don't know. And I think that that's a really important question and something that I'm definitely following closely. I know that a lot of people who are opposed to this project are trying to get Maura Healey, our new governor, to step in. I'm not entirely clear what authority she might have to do anything, but people are certainly hoping that she tries.
Miriam, this story sounds very messy. Thank you so, so much for walking us through it because, wow.
My pleasure, Daryl. I have worked hard on this for many months, so I'm happy to be here talking with you.
And since you spent many months on it and it is so messy, I want to let people know if they want to learn more and get more details on this story, head on over to WBUR.org and check out Miriam's work about this East Boston substation because it really is something. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That's WBUR Senior Climate and Environment Reporter Miriam Wasser. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Listen, if you live in East Boston and you want to weigh in on this conversation, hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon or send us an email. We would really love to hear from you on this. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.